All eyes were on Minnesota yesterday, the verdict being read. Guilty on all charges. What does this mean? What could the verdict or the sentencing be? That happens in 8 weeks. Joining us right now is KTAR legal analyst Monica Lindstrom. Were you surprised at all that it was guilty on all three charges?
No, it didn't surprise me. Considering the evidence that was presented at the trial, Mike, and I think the pressure or the unspoken pressure that was on the jurors, it didn't surprise me at all. I thought that they might have a little bit of difficulty finding all three just because of the way some of the statutes are written. But, the ultimate conclusion did not surprise me. What did surprise me was that they only deliberated for 10 and a half hours. I thought it would take them just a little bit more time to go ahead and go through all the evidence. But that 10 and a half hours just tells me that when they walked back into that room, so to speak, they pretty much knew what they were going to do.
As an attorney, your opinion on this, because my opinion is watching that video that everybody has seen so many times, that had to be such a big piece of evidence for the defense to try to overcome on any level. Do you think that's true?
I do think that's true. That video was like the most perfect piece of evidence I think a prosecutor could possibly have, because not only was it a video of the crime being committed, it was a video of everything around it being committed, and meaning what the circumstances were, what the time was, the bystanders and the facts and what was being said. Now, it wasn't the whole picture, but when you put that video along with the body cam footage, and the street camera footage, the milestone, I think, as they call it, I mean, it was like a beautiful package just wrapped up, a Christmas present for the prosecution, so to speak. So I did not think that they had a difficult case at all. I think what is going to be more difficult, Mike, is the next hearing that's coming up, which is the sentencing hearing. And I think the judge is under some pressure to figure out what he's going to do, because the jurors are done. They're not decide anything anymore. Now it's up to the judge.
So what does the judge take into consideration when he's deciding sentencing? What are judges considering?
Well, what's interesting here in Minnesota is, or up there in Minnesota, I should state, is that if the state wants to go outside of the typical sentencing guidelines, because there are guidelines that the judge and everybody follows, the state wants to go above those guidelines. They want more than the typical 12 and a half years that Chauvin could get, that's most likely to get. They have to prove aggravating factors. And so those aggravating factors, the judge has to decide, are those there? And are there enough factors that will tell me I need to sentence them to more than just the middle of the road? And I think that's where it's going to get interesting. And those aggravating factors are things like, was George Floyd vulnerable? Well, yes. Did they do it in front of a kid? Yes. You know, so I think that's going to be very interesting. And the judge is going to be hard pressed to not go above the norm, so to speak.
When you look at what he said to the defense attorneys about the comments made by a couple of politicians, well, the president of the United States and Maxine Waters, he said to the defense that they may have a case on appeal with this. Do you believe there's any grounds there on appeal based on what was said by some elected officials?
Absolutely. What Maxine Waters said, and the city council coming out and the mayor coming out and announcing the settlement during the trial or right before the trial, I think it was, the first or second day of trial, I thought was disgusting, irresponsible, so disappointing on so many levels, because you have to let our justice system work. And when you make comments like that, the jury is likely to hear those types of things. And so I'm just completely disgusted by what she said and the fact that that settlement came out. Can it be a basis for an appeal? Absolutely. It's going to be hard, though, because the jurors are given an admonition that they are not supposed to pay attention to the news at all. But our news is so pervasive now that we get it everywhere on our computers and our emails, you know, notifications like our KTAR notifications we get every morning at 8:20.
Right.
Right. And throughout the day, it's hard to ignore all those things. So it's very possible that you could argue the jurors were persuaded or influenced by this information that came out. Ultimately, do I think that will win the appeal? I don't, because the evidence is so overwhelming. but it's possible, Mike.
So if there were an appeal and he was and the lawyer was successful, would that mean that the case was thrown out, or would they have to go back to a new trial?
It could be either. If there was prosecutorial misconduct, if there were reasons that were just bad enough, the appeals court could throw out the conviction, but that's highly unlikely and irregular. That happened once here in Arizona that I know of with the Deborah Milkey death penalty case. But in the case of Minnesota, if the appeals court finds that there's a basis, they would likely just do what we call remanding, which means send it back to the trial court and probably have a new trial.
I'm going to be talking later on in the show, actually at the bottom of this hour, with someone you know very well, Kirk Nurmi, about the defense the defense point of view in this. You watching this as an attorney and watching what the defense did and what they had to work with, how would you rate the defense? Did they do a decent job of as best they could in defending Chauvin, or whether you, did you think they made mistakes?
You could always Monday morning quarterback it and say Eric Nelson could have been a little bit more passionate, or he could have objected here or there. But you know what? He was in the hot seat and he had very little to work with. I thought he did a great job in his closing argument, trying to wrap up all the possible reasons for reasonable doubt. I think he did the best that he possibly could, and he did it almost completely by himself. Kirk Nurmi understands the pressure that Eric Nelson was under and the hatred that will continue to come to him in the years ahead. So I thought he did as good a job as he can. I have no hate towards Eric Nelson. A job needed to be done. Chauvin needed to have an attorney. It's his constitutional right, and that's what Mr. Nelson did.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I got to know Kirk Nurmi, and if for people that don't know the name, Kirk Nurmi was Jody Arias' defense attorney. I got to know Kirk when I brought him on the air to apologize to him for the things that I assumed, like everyone else did, that her defense was his defense. And my mind was changed in that documentary in defense of that you were in. And you made some really great points in that documentary about following the law and just doing the job. And in the end, he got wrapped up in something that was not his fault.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And Kirk Nurmi had a very difficult situation handed to him, and he did the best he could with it. Eric Nelson wasn't, I don't think, in the same type of situation as Nurmi, but he did his job. He did what he was supposed to do. And as a lawyer, I'm proud of that job. I'm not proud of what the officer did, but we have to have attorneys represent criminal defendants. It's in our Constitution. And if we don't have that protection, then our justice system can't work properly.
Yeah, and I learned a lot from that documentary. So I don't think I've ever told you I saw you in it, what a great job you did. But I learned a lot from that documentary.
Mike.
Well, learning a lot about those guys that are defending public enemy number one, whether it was Jody Arias or Ted Bundy or anybody that's, you know, is seen so evil in the public's eye, and you're the defense attorney, and what they go through was an interesting look. That's why I'm looking forward to talking to Kirk. And it's always great talking with you, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that's Monica Lindstrom, KTR legal analyst, and we're going to talk with Kirk Nurmi, who was Jody Arias' attorney. We're going to talk with him at the bottom of the hour about defending someone that is public enemy number one. It's going to be an interesting perspective. I hope you'll stick around for it.